You're listening to News Radio 88. This is WCBS. Good morning. I'm Lou Adler.
Good morning. I'm Jim Donnelly.
Sunny, breezy, comfortably cool day today. The high 58 to 62. Clear skies overnight and a low of 41 to 46. Beautiful day tomorrow. Mostly sunny. Very pleasant. The high 59 to 64. And Friday, pretty nice. Hazy sun. Continued quite mild. High in the upper 60s. Clear and 52 degrees at 6:48. Among the stories we're watching, they're still walking that last mile in the long, long New York City newspaper strike. Lawyers for the striking pressmen and for the New York Times and the Daily News are going over contract language line by line this morning. The paper is still hoping to be able to publish Sunday editions. Art Athens is at the talks, and we'll be hearing from him.
200 technical and professional employees at Lincoln Hospital in the Bronx are threatening to strike this morning because they say the Health and Hospitals Corporation isn't implementing the terms of a new contract. Nurses at the Waterbury, Connecticut Hospital say they'll not report this morning unless they get pay parity with licensed practical nurses there. And at Valley Stream, Long Island, a spokesman says operations continue normal despite the strike by nurses' aides and orderlies and kitchen and maintenance people.
A Suffolk State Supreme Court justice is expected to give his verdict today in the trial of an anesthesiologist. The technical charge is assault on a post-operative patient. Dr. Ivan Gerhath is accused of assaulting that patient by needlessly injecting her with a drug, allegedly to cause an adverse reaction in order to discredit his colleagues at Central Suffolk Hospital. A court spokesman says acting State Supreme Court Justice Paul DeMaro is expected to make his decision at 9:30 this morning.
It's 11 minutes to 7 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and good morning, Neil Bush, trick-or-treating in the Traffic Watch helicopter. Put down your candy bars.
Great. Good morning, Jim and Lou, and certainly hope everybody's car made it through last night without too much of a problem. Good luck to you, and as you drive in this morning, very good conditions. If you're coming inbound, as a matter of fact, on that Long Island Expressway approaching the Midtown Tunnel, look at the Midtown area. Look at that new CityCorp building. Looks like some sort of futuristic gantry for a rocket launching pad, this silvery orange building. And by the way, on that Upper Brooklyn Queens Expressway, we're all cleared up southbound. Remember yesterday morning we had a tie up there all rush hour long. We're okay now, emptying into Brooklyn from Queens. We'll have a full report right before 7.
Sometimes,
like a rock and roll or a classical station, all news formats reach a specific audience. But news operations manager John Wheeling says the approach at CBS is somewhat more general than most places.
Well, we're aiming for everybody we can get, actually. But demographically, it's generally the male 18-plus audience that we're looking for. That's the most valuable demographic as far as we're concerned. So that's the group that we're looking for. Of course, we're always looking for women. Especially in the midday periods when that male demographic is not necessarily available to listen to the radio. So I think we can generally say that we would like men and women 18 plus, 7 days a week.
Are these people that are hardcore news addicts, do they listen to CBS all the time, or are they people that switch around the dial?
But it varies, and it's very difficult to pin that down. I think that there's a pattern developed by most people. It's like a 20-minute listening cycle. They'll listen for 20 minutes and do something else, whether that be television or another radio station or a chore or something. We have people from 10 to 20 minutes. But there are a lot of people around who do listen all the time, never change the dial, but they're not really listening. They have it on. It's registering somewhere deep down, maybe in their subconscious. But they're not listening with a careful ear looking for specific information. Those people that have us on all the time may, at the top of the hour, listen for 10 minutes or something like that. The listening patterns are, as I say, are hard to pin down. They're hard to predict, and they're hard to program for. So we have sort of tried to cover the entire spectrum of listening habits to take care of all of those different styles of listening, and that's why we work on a one-hour cycle.
A News Radio 88 business report at 9 minutes before 7 o'clock on the first day of November. The senior editor of Business Week magazine, Gordon Williams. Gordon, more strength for the dollar, but not too much, I guess. Well, what we've seen is another dramatic increase in the cost of money, and we saw that yesterday. The Federal Reserve again shoving up short-term interest rates to try and hold back the rate of inflation. The U.S. Treasury had to pay an all-time record 9.36% to sell 42-month notes yesterday. Late yesterday, Chase Manhattan Bank becoming the first U.S. bank to hike its prime lending rate from...
Is it possible to listen to your station for 5 hours and not get bored?
I don't think so. I mean, unless you've got a really big, big story going, I think after an hour, you're going to be hearing a lot of the things. 90% of what you hear on a normal news day that you're going to hear in that one particular hour. It can get very, very boring and does, but it's the nature of the programming.
Do you think rewriting and different versions of voicers and such help a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. That's the only thing that saves us. I mean, if we didn't do that, we wouldn't have a chance to keep these people around. The audience likes to give us the benefit of the doubt and is kind in that way. But if we keep feeding them the same exact thing, after an hour or so, they would have the spots memorized. So it's critical that we have different versions of the same stories, take different looks at it, different angles, different leads, different cuts of actuality, anything we can do to make it sound different. And sometimes, journalistically, it helps because you can't get the full story into one 45-second spot. With three different 45-second spots, you can probably get all of the information available on that particular story.
What about a big disaster or something? Is that a good thing or a bad thing here?
It's what we live for. That's when we really shine, and it's a good thing. A disaster is a good thing for us. It sounds terrible, but that's the nature of the business. We know when there's a disaster, when there's a very big story, we are going to have more listeners than we're going to have at any other time. So we pull all stops at that time, the thinking being that if these people like what they hear, if they're satisfied, well, they will come back when there is not a disaster. They'll come back tomorrow because they like what they heard.
Wednesday morning at WCBS, the first day of November, 52 degrees Fahrenheit, sunny and heading up into the 60s at 6:30 before 7 o'clock.
Some New York City cops have a beef this morning, Jim, about one of their station houses. They claim it's not fit for man or beast. And certainly not for New York's finest. Jane Tillman Irving has a report.
If the 32nd Precinct were any other building, says PBA President Sam D'Amelia, it would have been condemned and closed. D'Amelia had spent over 20 years at that Harlem station house before his election to the union presidency, and says it's been a mass of safety and fire violations, largely without heat, hot water, sometimes even running water, for over a year. The planned repairs suspended.
They decided to renovate the building, and they moved everybody from the building into the garage. Now, you know and I know that you can't live in the garage. And so they had to use part of the building while they were doing the repairs. They started a year and a half ago. It seems the contractor who started it, he just walked out. He said he couldn't do the job. And these conditions are getting worse and worse.
Police Commissioner Robert McGuire says the city has taken the matter to court and is trying to come up with its own repair plan. Counters D'Amelia, suing the contractor, doesn't help the guys who have to work there. This is Jane Tillman Irving.
And it's 5 minutes to seven.
The other day I spent some time with Peter Ustinov, film critic Jeffrey Lyon. He's an old friend, and stories about the gifted man have come to mind.
And Jeffrey Lyon shares them with us. Today, right here on WCBS News Radio 88. At 20 minutes past 11 o'clock, and here's Neil Bush right now, the Traffic Watch helicopter.
Yeah, put on your seatbelts. Let's get going.
Covering news in New York City is a very difficult thing to do because of the nature of this town, its complexity, and the difficulty in getting around in this town, etc. One of the things that's very important for a reporter at WCBS is to know New York City. Very basically, the subway system, how to get a taxi cab, buses, how to get around in this town. The other thing about knowing New York City, the intricacies of the government, what makes the city work, how it works, the commissions, the structure of the government and the various committees and boards and everything else. Also the personalities that they're going to be confronted with every day. So we don't really look to the Midwest to hire a New York City reporter because there's a certain amount of time that person even though he or she may be a terrific journalist, a certain amount of time that person's going to have to be trained, basic training, here in New York City. That can last 6 months to a year, maybe even longer. So we would much rather go to someone who has been working in town for a long enough time to really know the city so that they can perform for us from day one. There's no training period. They don't have to learn the subway system, so to speak. Beyond that, we look for top-flight journalists, someone who has a proven track record, someone that we know is very, very good, someone that we're not going to have to train, someone who perhaps has been working for our competition and hurting us there. We like to hire them away. And being a rather large organization with the ability to pay more, we have the luxury almost all the time of being able to choose who we want to come here to be a reporter.
You've, let's say, got 8 outside reporters, and there are 50 things going on. How do you decide what to cover? What kind of decisions go on in the morning?
Yeah, well, it's always difficult. We haven't assigned an editor, and we trust that person's judgment as to what is the most important thing to cover, the most important 8 stories to go out on that particular day out of 50 or maybe 500 good possible stories. And it's very difficult. I mean, all journalists suffer these agonizing decisions every day, especially assignment people involved in assignments. And it's you just have to count on that person's judgment. After a while, you begin to learn what stories you can cover and what stories you can't really cover with what you have available. And you have to kind of throw that into the mix every morning and decide which stories are the most efficient and which ones must we cover and so forth. Generally, it's the top 2 or 3 stories are easy. You'll know what they are. It's what you do with the other 4 or 5 reporters that you have. How do you get the best use out of them for that particular day? That just comes from experience. You know what reporters you have available, how they can handle a story, what they can do with the story. Sometimes it's just a gut-level instinct. Like the assignment editor will feel that I know there's a story here and I'm going to put somebody on it. And hopefully that pans out. But you never really know. It's a difficult thing to do. We have day book material. We have future files. And, of course, we rely on all of the daily services, the wire services and so forth, to get leads for stories. We'll send reporters out, and we will change those assignments at the drop of a hat. Obviously, if a better story breaks, we'll call a reporter off of what he's doing and put them on that other story. It's a continuing review of what's going on every 24 hours.
We'll say it again. White Rose.
White Rose. Products available at these leading supermarkets. Met Food Stores, Scaturo, Domino Supermarkets, Royal Farms, and Dan's Supreme. And Big Bob's Place, 6:58. Bob Harris about weather is next.
Sponsored by United Airlines, Bob.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. 53 degrees and clear. Boy, what a nice spell of weather we've had, and what a nice spell of weather we're going to have. I guess we're under some sort of magic spell. I don't know, maybe it's the time of the year, but everything very tranquil around the country, very little precipitation anywhere. Anywhere in the lower 48, and even Alaska and Hawaii are enjoying fairly good weather for this time of the year. A little unreal, but Mother Nature will lower the boom eventually. Our forecast for today, sunny, breezy, comfortably cool, the high 58 to 62 this afternoon. We made it up to 62 degrees yesterday, and we'll come pretty close this afternoon. The air quality expected to be acceptable. Tonight, clear skies, winds diminishing, low 41 to 46. Tomorrow will be sunny and very pleasant, highs between 59 and 64. And Friday, hazy sunshine, a bit of Indian summer again. Temperatures in the upper 60s on Friday. Right now, clear, 53 degrees at WCBS.
Okay, time to call the airline so they can put me on hold. Maybe play me a little tune. Hey, what am I going to do with all the time they're saving me? I mean, this is New York. I'm not supposed to have all this time.
You don't. It's 6:58.